This is an extract from the Nature podcast. For the full show, head to nature.com/nature/podcast.
With the recent royal wedding here in the UK, there's been a lot of discussion about whether our society truly is a meritocracy. In science, at least, things are more clear-cut than in the monarchy. Professorships aren't handed down from generation to generation along with a crown and the right to own all the swans. In science, success is supposed to depend on an individual's personal merit. That's the idea, anyway. In practice, academic ability is far from the only factor affecting a scientist's career. Ted Hodapp of the American Physical Society is concerned about the fact that in his field, physics, there's a clear imbalance in the kinds of students reaching both undergraduate and graduate level.
About 35% of the US population can be classified as underrepresented minorities in the definition that we use, which is African Americans, Hispanic Americans, and Native Americans. And 35% drops to about 11 or 12% getting bachelor's degrees for physics. And then when you go on to the PhD, it drops even further down to about 6 or 7%.
In the US, affirmative action policies try to counter some of the effects of racism or other forms of discrimination in admissions. But direct discrimination isn't the only reason for the lack of minority students in physics. Structural inequality in society has a range of knock-on effects.
There are a lot of different reasons why students don't advance between the bachelor's degree and the PhD. Although many of them are ready to go on to a PhD, many of them are not ready because they don't think they're ready. Or they're given the wrong advice about how to prepare for and take a particular exam that is used in the United States called the Graduate Record Exam. And many physics departments use this very strongly to rank students.
The use of tests such as the Graduate Record Exam, known as the GRE, and the use of the Undergraduate Grade Point Average, known as a GPA, is supposed to ensure that admissions officers can select the most capable students. But there are many factors that can influence these kind of test results, many of which are nothing to do with academic ability. Zach Hall, a physics graduate at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, was very keen to pursue physics after undergrad, but found that he wasn't in the best position to do so.
My biggest issue was my undergraduate GPA was very low, and that wasn't a great indicator of my ability or my, drive to continue in physics. For me personally, undergrad was really, really challenging in more ways than just academic, both personally, financially. I think it's very easy for certain types of students to be completely dismissed when considering only these kind of standardized factors.
Zach was able to gain his current PhD place thanks to support from the American Physical Society Bridge Program, of which Ted Hodapp is director. The program aims to get more students from underrepresented minorities into graduate programs. One of the many ways it's doing this is by encouraging university admissions to focus less on the results of standardized tests.
One of the ways you can do that is by not looking at the GRE score to begin with. You look at all the other pieces. If you look at a low score on something before you rank a student in an application process, you automatically think more poorly of such a student. This is something called anchoring bias.
When talking to graduate admissions departments, the APS Bridge program encourages a more holistic approach, looking at the trajectory and potential of students.
So a fixed mindset says, let's just pick the individuals who are the stars of the pool here. And the growth mindset says, let's pick people who we think can do amazingly well if we give them the right opportunities. And there's a big difference there, because if you didn't have the right opportunities to begin with to be able to show that your potential, you're just not going to be selected.
But there's more that can be done beyond just changing selection criteria. Here's Brian Samaripa-Roman, another student on the APS program.
When I realized that I had to pay for grad school applications, I was like, I don't know if I can do all that, you know, because like my mom didn't work and my dad had passed away my junior year in high school. And so growing up, I had to pretty much take care of my family as well. And so there was a lot of things that I had to worry about, a lot of things that I didn't know. I knew that the end goal was a PhD, but I had no idea what steps to take.
The Bridge program helped Brian take the graduate record exam and put in a graduate school application despite having missed the normal deadline. He's now studying at the University of Central Florida, where the Bridge program continues to support him through mentorship schemes. Ted Hodapp says that ongoing mentoring schemes are important, and he believes they may be responsible for the high retention rate of PhD students on the program.
Oftentimes, I think physics programs, there's a sense that once a student comes in, the faculty don't need to pay attention to the student. They say if they're good enough, they're going to continue and they're going to complete their degree. And it kind of ignores the fact that certain students are coming in not knowing how the system works.
Students of the APS Bridge program believe that it and programs like it can have a wider benefit than just to the individuals involved. Michelle Lolly has been supported by the APS at Indiana University Bloomington.
It's important because, you know, we have to change the face of physics. There is a stereotype of, you know, an older Caucasian male being your standard physicist. So it's important for, you know, a little brown or black girl or young man, they have to see, you know, people who look like them. The advice I would give it, if you really want to do it because you love it and know that you can do it. And you may experience some challenges along the way, but you are changing the face of physics and history at this time. And that's what we need to have.
Thanks to students Michelle Lolly, Zach Hall, and Brian Samaripa-Roman for talking to us about their experiences. Ted Hodapp is Director of Project Development for the American Physical Society and, along with colleague Erica Brown, has written a comment piece in this week's issue of Nature about the APS Bridge Programme. Find that at nature.com/nature/news.